All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to People's Rights. We have an interesting guest today that's calling in from Texas. Her name is Jalice Middleton, and she is representing American Patriot Relief. So they're involved with the January 6th defendants. And we're going to hear about their efforts to get them freed and to help them in their legal defense. So if we are connected, I'll see if I can talk with Jalice right now. Jalice, can you hear me? Okay, we're connecting now. all right. Hi, Jalice. This is Adam calling from the People's Rights Meeting. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. So we've got a live audience here for you, Jalice, and we would like to hear about what Patriot Relief is up to in regards to the January 6th defendants, and how can we help? Are you raising funds for the... for the J6ers, or what's your primary goal? Or can you tell us a little about your organization and what you're up to right now?
Well, sure, absolutely. So me and my husband are both January 6th defendants. We just came out of our trial this past week. And, of course, just as they do with all January 6th defendants, they found us guilty on all counts. And so anyway, from the moment that we were arrested back in April of 2021, we had realized the need for doing something to help the January 6th defendants. My husband and I were sitting in a little bit better position than most January 6th defendants because we owned our home, we owned everything we had, we were not in debt, our kids are grown. You know, all the things that could make life more difficult for somebody if they were to be arrested. We tend to, I guess, kind of been able to avoid a little bit. So we just felt like we were in the right position to have a servant's heart and try to help the other defendants. So... we didn't do it single-handedly. It was actually another board member that he had a similar situation happen to him, too. He was working on the Texas border and got raided by the FBI. And so once we realized the government is, you know, persecuting conservatives, you know, under political persecution, we got together and formed the nonprofit of American Patriot Relief. And we use our organization to assist other January 6th defendants. We do that through paying their commissary while they're in prison. We have pulled, I don't know, 3 to 5 homes out of foreclosure now. We're starting to lose count. Mark's saying 5. We make mortgage payments for them. We do as little as buying diapers if they need, you know, diapers for their children. We pay a lot of travel expense to get them to and from their trial and their sentencing, because no January 6th defendant has been able to get their trial moved out of Washington, D.C., because obviously they wouldn't be as effective at convicting at the 98.6% rate that they currently are convicting with.
Right. So can I ask you a question in that regard, Jalice?
Sure.
So the courts are denying all change of venue requests, regardless of the obvious conflicts of interest and the fact that you can't get a fair trial in D.C.?
That is absolutely correct. And the argument the judges will use is that, well, everybody knows about January 6th. Where would you have it that somebody didn't know about it? But, you know, I tend to throw back at people a couple of things. First off, if you were living in an apartment complex and there was a murder in the courtyard, you can rest assured you would not be called up as a juror on that trial because you lived in the complex. You would have heard the sirens. You would have heard the gunshots. You would have heard the people talking and being fearful for their lives. And that in itself would have excluded you from being a juror. But that is not what they're doing in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, there has been a recent study where somebody took it upon themselves to research the Google searching habits of residents in Washington, D.C., where it showed beyond a doubt a very extensive curve toward keywords like insurrection, that nowhere else in the country was that a keyword search. They found things like the people tend to, you know, follow more media on the select committee that was initially established for January 6th, that they received more of that media than anybody else in the nation. So it showed very clear bias, but to date, the judges still are not submitting to a change of venue.
Right. So my understanding is that one of the causes for changing the venue is for the defendant to be able to avoid biased jurisdictions and judges, and that's just what you're dealing with.
Correct.
I was wondering if you could expand on one question, though, for me. Are you or any of the people you're helping, are you insurrectionists? Was it your plan to overthrow the government of the United States when you went to Washington, D.C.?
I would love to say I'm that smart.
This is Mark, Mark Middleton. But no, we were not planning that. Our goal was to go to D.C. and pray for our nation and just be involved in the festivities that were planned for that day. We had no clue it was going to turn out like that. We had no clue anyone had any design on going in the building or anything like that. We never crossed a barricade. We never crossed the police line. We never went in the building or anything like that. So, you know, we had no plans of being that, you know, and really, I don't think anyone ever grew up wanting to be an insurrectionist. But, you know, here we are. And, you know, that narrative of insurrection is ludicrous because no one had guns.
Right. I agree. It's the only insurrection I've ever heard about where no one was hurt. No one was packing heat. And, you know, the government itself was escorting people in and out of the Capitol.
Exactly.
And the police were escorting people around, giving them tours. So it was a very friendly insurrection, if we want to call it that.
It was. And, you know, I'm always tickled by it because, you know, even your worst criminal, your most ignorant criminal on earth could have done a better job than that for an insurrection, which is mighty ironic that, you know, the federal government planned it and they couldn't even do better, so...
Well, can you tell us how many J6ers are you working with right now, and what are you specifically doing to help, and how can people that want to get involved help you?
So as far as helping us, joining the cause, you can log on to AmericanPatriotRelief.org. And from there, you can donate to us in the general fund that will go out to all J6ers when they ask for, you know, when they have a need. And you can also do the Adopt a J6er program, which is for commissary for those that are currently in prison. You can also volunteer. We have tons of places for volunteers to get involved. We have the 833-SAVE-J6 hotline that is all volunteer. And, you know, we need call takers for that 24/7, 365. And, you know, there's a lot of places for people to get involved with those programs. You know, since May of 2023, so we're, 9 months, eight, 9 months, we've given out over $65,000. And our organization is 100% volunteer. Okay. Even the board members, nobody gets paid for it. And Jaleese and I even had ourselves written out of the bylaws from receiving any money from our own organization because God told us to truly be his hands and feet, and that's what we're trying to be. Every dime we bring in that, you know, goes straight to J6ers, obviously there's some of it for we have an outside accounting firm to ensure that we're staying compliant and we're staying above board. That we have to pay for, and then marketing materials that we use to get our name out. Other than that, nobody even takes travel expenses. Me and Jaleese have traveled in the last year and a half for American Patriot Relief. We've traveled all over the nation and have taken nothing from the organization for it.
Well, that's fantastic. Can you explain a little more about the volunteers answering the phones for you? Because we might have some people that are interested in doing that. So can you explain how that works?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for asking. So this is a phone system that we implemented due to J6 suicides. We have had approximately 9 people commit suicide. And that just grieves my heart. And so this hotline was formed out of that to try to make life a little bit better, to remind them who they are in Christ, to remind them that they are loved, that they have value and purpose, that they're simply in the middle of a storm, that this is not the end and it won't become the end if you don't make it the end.
Right.
So we started this hotline. None of us are licensed call takers. So we are not a suicide hotline. We are simply a support hotline. And what we do is, of course, we filled that call immediately to see if it needs passed on to a suicide hotline or to 911 if it's urgent. Or we just sit and let them talk. We find out their state of mind, where they're at. You know, do they have a positive outlook and encourage them, restore them, let them know they're not alone and that what they're hearing in the media from the Mockingbird media is not how people feel about them, that so many people are grateful for the service that they've provided and care about them. And that's what we do. We offer them resources. If they're all of them are struggling financially, but if they're asking for financial help, you know, we either put them through to American Patriot Relief or another nonprofit like the American Gulag Chronicles, or if they're needing legal help, we'll put them in with Condemned USA. If they can't get their video evidence, we'll put them in with Stop Hate, and we just connect them in so that they no longer feel alone and they know that they have resources.
Oh, that's fantastic that you're doing that. Well, People's Rights, the group is nationwide. We've got chapters all over the country. So maybe as an additional way of helping some of these folks, you could refer them to peoplesrights.ws. That's .ws. We used to have peoplesrights.org, but our website is under attack by the same people that are going after all the January 6ers. Yep. So they've taken down our .org address, but we are up and running on peoplesrights.ws. And so what they would have then is a chapter, a group of people in their local community that could come together and help them. We have two J6ers here in our particular group in Southern California, Derek Kennison and also Edward Bedalian. And,
okay, I know both of the names, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're also working with a gentleman named Eric Christie, who was recently dealt harshly with by the so-called Justice Department. But
we would like to volunteer hours.
Right. We would like to work with you and try to help you, and maybe our organization can help some of them as well. But would you mind?
Like a very good partnership opportunity for sure.
Yeah, I think it's necessary, and it'll really benefit everybody. But I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about your personal story of what happened to you on January 6th.
So, you know, me and my husband's story is similar to everyone else's, but quite different in the same aspect. We never went in the Capitol or passed a barricade. And yet we just got found guilty with a prosecutors recommending 5 to 9 years in prison. And what happened in our situation is we come up on the west side and went into prayer with one another. We huddled together because we couldn't hear anything, and we had to be extremely close together to be able to pray. And while we were huddled in prayer, police officers shoved the barricades into us, grabbed our scarves, began choking me with it and holding me, trying to pull me over the barricades. And my husband started trying to stop them by pulling their hands back off of us. And they were beating us with clubs at the same time. And then while holding us down, they sprayed us with pepper spray. And that's when the crowd got us pulled away from them to safety, and we exited immediately. Video showing that. There was no argument about that. We truly got convicted on our words. What we posted on social media made them very angry because we had, you know, really been braggadocious and inflammatory with everything we were saying. And instead of taking the video as evidence, they decided to prosecute us over our words.
And so you were exercising your right to free speech in a protest, and they found that offensive. So where's the crime there?
Well, In a normal world, if we were following the Constitution and the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers, there is no crime there. But in this new era that we're in of a two-tiered justice system, because we don't support their narrative of what happens that is, against the law, how they convicted us is with the 9 charges each, they wrote 90 pages of jury instructions. So 10 pages per charge of instructions to the jury, and they defined everything down so finite that it was impossible for anybody who read the jury instructions to then find us innocent of those charges. Even to the point, if you gave a police officer a dirty look, without touching them, without doing anything, you are now guilty of assaulting a federal police officer. And that's how detailed they defined everything.
So in total contravention of the law.
Yes.
My understanding is that First Amendment arguments were not allowed by the defense. Is that correct?
We didn't actually push that argument because we knew that it would probably get shot down because it had been in the past.
But you are correct.
Yes.
They do not allow First Amendment arguments that we had a right to be there. The angle they come from, I mean, they pull a rabbit out of their hat from every angle. Right. They claim, you know, there were even permits that day for protests to be there at the Capitol. But then they pulled those permits at I think, 11 o'clock at night the night before. So their argument was that you should have known you shouldn't have been there. And, of course, there was no way for anybody to know. All the fencing was removed by, you know, federal officers of some sort. And, you know, nobody knew they were trespassing. They didn't know they were doing anything wrong. Now, I'll tell you, most judges don't even allow them a defendant to use a self-defense claim. We were a unique case that we were allowed to use a self-defense claim, and I think that actually spoke loudly to how clear the video evidence was of self-defense, because they don't normally allow J6ers to even use a self-defense claim.
So you spoke about the police actually trying to pull you over the barriers and try to, I guess, make it appear that you were trying to invade the Capitol. Is that what you think they were trying to do?
Yeah, well, I think what they were trying to do is they would try to assault the women to get the men fighting. Is what I think they were trying to do. They were trying to create a total riot. They had the human integrity of patriots way underestimated and truly thought that they could get us to start rioting. And mm-hmm. we're just not that type of people. Patriots, you know, typically are not violent people. They're law-abiding citizens. They love our country. They love law enforcement. You know, they love order and our Constitution. And I think they really believed that they could incite a riot, and we just gravely disappointed them.
And there's a lot of evidence showing where it was D.C. Metro Police. It wasn't the Capitol Police. They were just as clueless what was going on that day as we were. But the D.C. Metro Police, especially those in the yellow jackets, we call them yellow jackets for that reason, they were particularly violent, especially toward women. Mm-hmm. Purposely, I think, to try to draw the men into all-out fighting them and causing this big riot and whatever else, and it just did not play out that way. Generally, you know, when they attacked a woman, the men would stand in and enough to push the police back away from the woman, rescue her, bring her to a safe spot, and then go back to a regular protest.
Right.
You know, people were not being aggressive towards the cops. The cops were being aggressive towards them.
So you spoke about video of this incident. Is there any way we can access that and look at that and spread that to our people?
Absolutely.
So it's on Twitter in a lot of spaces. We're going to be releasing it soon and putting it out there, the videos that support us. They'll also be found on stop8.com very, very soon. And then if you're on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, you can look up, let's see, his name is Tommy Tatum, but his handle is at JackSmart007. He's released a fair amount of those videos of me and Jalice in the last week. You can go watch them, but we will be aggregating them together on stop8.com very, very soon.
Excellent. Were these videos withheld during the initial parts of the trial, and were they part of the release that was done fairly recently?
So, excuse me.
No, on both accounts. They were not withheld from us, and they were able to be used in our court proceedings. They were even allowed to be used with the sound and slow motion, which is other tactics that the government had used in other January 6th defendant cases of not allowing the sound or not allowing it to be done in slow motion. But we were allowed to do all of that. and it was not part of the most recent release. In fact, they were still withholding ours from the public. But once you go to trial, it becomes public record. So. Mm-hmm.
And the Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, you know, promised to release all the mythical 44,000 hours. He's released only about 9 full hours of video time since he's taken office. So the videos that have been leaking out were actually hacked from a government-sponsored organization where the government gave them all of the video access, facial recognition, the whole nine yards, to hunt us J6ers down. And a few of J6ers actually hacked their system and started downloading tens of thousands of hours from them that has all been put on Twitter and Rumble. But no, the government has not been helping us at all.
Yeah, from my understanding, exculpatory evidence is required to be released by the prosecution.
Well, so they
have
did
they been
pretty much
doing that
us.
With all the J6ers that you're aware of?
No, they are not doing that with all of the J6ers, especially the early ones. For some reason, they did for us. You know, and there's probably thousands of more hours out there of me and Jalice that never got released. One of the videos that they withheld that we know of is the time when we actually crossed over into the, you know, air quotes, restricted area. It was restricted area after the fact, not before, which is, you know, the protected area for Mike Pence being in the Capitol. But... you know, they did not release any video of that. They did release video of us walking up the lawn in court that we had never seen before. But it didn't. It just showed us walking around with the same, you know, I call it the goober look on our face that everyone else had, that, you know, the awe of everything that was going on that day, carrying our flags, just walking along the lawn. No barricades in sight or anything like that. But they used that as proof that we were, you know, insurrecting on the Capitol lawn, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of, and can you speak to the fact that there were police officers escorting people into the Capitol and giving them almost like tours of the Capitol while supposedly this insurrection was going on?
Well, not that day, because we didn't see any of that. But, I mean, we've seen video of it come out very, very quickly within a few hours, actually, after we were back at the hotel room. CNN and MSNBC actually had video of it, and then it quickly disappeared. But we've seen video evidence since of, yes, that exact thing. Jake Chansley, the American shaman, the guy with the buffalo horns on,
mm-hmm.
There's, you know, lots of videos of the cops escorting him all through the Capitol and showing him and those with him everything about the Capitol.
Do you feel as though there were agents, undercover agents operating, trying to incite a riot?
110%.
I think so, too. And this is just something that I happen to know about, but I'd like to tell you about it so you're aware of it. There was an incident in Canada which took place. There was a protest going on outside of a mining facility, and it involved the Native Canadians' tribal rights to the land, and the dispute was with the mining company. But during the protest, which was peaceful, a group of men appeared at the front of their protest, all wearing masks and black hoods and so forth. And those men started picking up rocks, and they were just about to start throwing those rocks at the police line that was there. And the protesters themselves stepped away from those men, called attention to them, and said, "Hey, you're not with us. What's going on here? Why are you picking up the rocks?" And so on and so forth. So they turned their video cameras on those men, and they captured quite a bit of video, and then the police made a show of coming in and arresting those men. However, what came out later by analyzing the video was that those men that were picking up the rocks were actually undercover Canadian Mounties. They were police. Yep. And so they were trying to set up the protesters to be attacked by the police, by themselves attacking the police with their own people. So I was wondering if you were aware of that, and if not, I can send you the info.
Yeah, no, we now know that that was definitely going on. There's been a number of J6ers that have now served prison time or are serving prison time for stopping people from doing stuff like that. And what we've noticed, too, is that there is those who really did bad stuff that day, none of them have been arrested. Even the fence getting rolled up, the outer perimeter, they call it the snow fence. It's basically a plastic chain link fence. Those people that were rolling that up, a lot of those were now known Metropolitan Police Department undercover agents. We know that from facial recognition from a group called Sedition Hunters. And then there's new video or new photographs come out of a guy firing a gun. He climbed the bleacher scaffolding there on the west side of the Capitol, on the north side of it, if that makes sense. But he fired a gun in the air. It looked like a revolver. And come to find out, that guy's a multi-convicted felon, and he was let out of prison just days before J6. He's probably a plant from the government, part of his release, and was set up to do that to help foster the insurrection narrative. And, you know, this is the first we've seen of it, but the video or the at least the photographs have come out about it. As well as, you know, I don't know if y'all read about the latest stuff coming out on the bomb, but those are now confirmed to be FBI training pipe bombs. They were inert. Mm-hmm. Even the bomb sniffing dogs that they had going around the DNC and RNC never alerted to those bombs that were a few feet from them, from the dogs. Mm-hmm. We have video of that now.
And it was a Metro police officer that actually reported the bombs. Then you've got Coffee Guy, if you've heard about that story. That's with the
Gallows.
The gallows that were built. They watch them early, early morning, and several men in dark clothes went to build those gallows, but ironically, they decided to go to get some coffee and knew that early in the morning that the two coffee shops they walked past, they would not be able to get coffee at. But one man knew that he could go to the coffee shop across from the FBI headquarters, and that coffee shop was open. And he made a beeline for that specific shop without question, got the coffee and come back to everybody. So there are a lot of irregularities that very clearly point to the fact that the government definitely had plans there to try to incite an insurrection.
Are you familiar with Ray Epps, and can you speak to that, or no? Would you rather not?
We never saw him. I mean, what we know about him is only from video that's been since released. And we know in some of the J6 cases, he was digitally edited out of the photographs and video.
Wow.
But beyond that, I mean, I have no meeting with Ray Epps or any kind of communications or anything like that. We never even saw him. If we did, we wouldn't have noticed him or anything like that. So.
Right. So what I'd like to ask is how can an organization like ours, we've got close to 70,000 people nationwide, how can an organization like ours help you? and help the J6ers? And what would you like, what is the best outcome you can envision over the next year or so?
Honestly, you know, my take on it is you know, I try not to sound negative, but I really do have a very dismal outlook on the situation. I hear so many people, you know, well, when Trump gets back in office, and I just have to ask them, with what constitutional process do you plan on getting him back in there? Because the one you had, you gave up to them in 2020. We no longer have an election process. And once you allow them to breach it and win and have success with it, you can probably expect that that process will no longer be in place. So, you know, I don't feel optimistic of seeing President Trump go in office and be able to pardon everybody. We also have a researcher that is researching the pardon process for January 6th defendants. And it's actually not just a stroke of a pen. It is quite elaborate. It will take years. Meanwhile, people are, you know, not being with their children. They're not getting to have their life. They're losing marriages. They're losing homes. They're, you know, being alienated from society. They're losing their right to vote. They're losing their weapons to defend ourselves. They're, you know, it's still total devastation. So as far as the future of any turnaround, you know, mine comes very faith-based of saying, but God, you know, the Bible gives us a prescription for this, and it is that we're to turn our eyes back toward the Father and repent and ask forgiveness, and he will be faithful to restore our nation. So I believe that that is, you know, what's in the wake and what will have to occur for us to see redemption out of this. You know, it, beyond that, I don't have an answer. I know that people need to stop with the popularity contest for their elections. If you're not willing to go to groups like your own where you're educating people on candidates and what they stand for, you know, dig into their background, find out things they've said, are they being honest, are they lying, then you're an uneducated voter and you're only going toward the demise of our nation. And I was one of them. I was one that did that. I truly, it's a pot calling the kettle black. But my eyes have been opened, obviously, now that my life is being destroyed by our government that I helped give power to. So with that said, your organization would be very beneficial with American Patriot Relief in, of course, getting the truth out. Now me and my husband are on home confinement. We have cute little ankle monitors that I swear I'm going to bedazzle mine. But I'm not allowed to leave the confines of my home except for church and doctors. And so now our wings have been clipped to be able to publicly speak. But people still need warned. They still need to know what's happening. Every time we go out publicly speaking, people do not realize they're still arresting January 6th defendants. They don't realize that they're raiding their homes and putting lives in danger every time they do it. They brought a tank on my property with 22 federal agents and guns pointed at us and throwing flashbang grenades at us. And that is not how you treat American citizens that have never been in trouble with the law.
No, that sounds a lot more like something the Gestapo would do in Nazi Germany.
That's absolutely right. And if you, you know, have done any history lesson whatsoever about Nazi Germany, that's exactly what you know is how the Holocaust began, is verbatim what we're watching in our country right now. And, you know, people, I've heard people for generations say, I just don't know how they ever let it get to that. Well, take a look in the mirror, because you're letting it happen right now. You've right. got American citizens going down under the thumb of the government. I had a 72-year-old woman come to one of my events and tell us that She had been raided by the FBI because she posted a meme on her Facebook page that said Hunter Biden did not kill himself, and they have charged her with threats on the First Family. Now, if you think this is ending with January 6th defendants, you are so mistaken. They're getting people for protesting abortion clinics. They're getting people for posting memes. They're getting people for, you know, defending our border or even just showing up at our border for speaking out against the government. It has already started. And
yeah.
What say you?
You know, our founder, Ammon Bundy, was, they filed a defamation, quote unquote, suit against him for speaking out against CPS, Child Protective Services.
That's
so
right.
So this is a game plan that they're rolling out nationwide against all conservatives, against all patriots.
That is absolutely right. You know, I'm out of Texas. I can remember the Branch Davidians and watching what they did in Waco. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you had Ruby Ridge. You've got the Bundys. They have been playing this game long enough. At what point do we wake up and say no more?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Waco, are you familiar with a film called Waco, A New Revelation?
No, I'm not.
Okay, this is a must-see. You must get it and watch it. It might be available for free. I don't know for sure. But you must get it and watch it. Because in that video, FBI whistleblowers come forward and they show FLIR footage, which is not regular camera footage. That's forward-looking infrared footage. From a helicopter that was flying overhead above Waco at the time of the inferno at Waco. So they had an FBI helicopter circling the compound, taking FLIR video. And what the FLIR video shows, and they've had an expert analyze this and explain it in that documentary, the FLIR video clearly shows FBI snipers executing people that were trying to escape the inferno, executing them in cold blood. And and this is on their own videotape. FBI whistleblowers and FLIR experts speak on this documentary. It's called Waco, A New Revelation.
I have that wrote down, and Lord knows with home confinement, I'm going to have plenty of time to arm myself with more and more information. So I will look at watching that.
Yeah, there's also a documentary called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, which is very good. They've been up to this for a long time. I don't know if you're aware of the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. This is where the parking structure underneath the World Trade Center had a van full of explosives parked underneath there.
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, the FBI had some very questionable dealings with one of the supposed terrorists that they claimed did this. And he was actually an informant for the FBI, and he objected to them giving him real explosives to be used at the World Trade Center. So we're in a very precarious situation with our federal law enforcement agency, the FBI, being not just corrupt, but maybe actively working against the interests of our country.
Absolutely. I think that's what's happening. And what's worse is, you know, like I say, I live in Texas. The border situation is beyond what anybody could ever fathom. And I can tell you from being born and raised in Texas, I can remember when Amber Hagerman was initially abducted and created the whole Amber Alert. I lived in the city she was abducted from. And I would hear an Amber Alert after that maybe once a year. And then for up until about 3 years ago, you'd get maybe two a year. And now we get 2 to 4 a week of our children getting raped and pillaged and left for dead or never to be seen again. Right. And, you know, that is a ploy from our government to let in all of these military men. And I believe what you're going to see is you're going to see terrorist attacks all over our nation from here forth until November with the ideology that they will make you too afraid to leave your home to go vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that is going to fail, and it's going to fail miserably because they grossly underestimate how Americans are willing to step up when their country is at stake. But that remains to be seen. So can you tell us once more how we can help you and the website that we can go to get your information? And then, yes, if you're willing, would you be willing to answer some questions from our audience?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So our website is AmericanPatriotRelief.org. And there you can hit the contact us button. We've got a donate button. You can research our different programs with the Adopt a J6er and Books for the Book and even our Freedom Nest. We have a home that we provide January 6th defendants during their trial in Washington, D.C., and always need all kinds of financial help for that. We have yet to get it completely furnished. We're needing three more beds and, you know, other needs, you know, couches and things like that for the home. So that need is available to, as far as coming alongside American Patriot Relief, writing letters. We have all our partner organizations listed on that main page, but one of our favorites is Patriot Mail Project, where you can
love it. I'm a member of that already.
Oh, thank you so much. Because, you know, we get discouraged. Like, say, our world is in total shambles. And when we hear from the American people that you do not believe the lies the government is telling about us, it makes us feel good. When you remind us who we are in Christ and that God wins, it's very helpful to hear it from other people. Sometimes it's just fun for you to write a letter and just tell about your life, you know, the mm-hmm. crazy stories that happen in your world to give us a sense of normalcy, because normal is far removed from our life at this point.
Well, I can tell you from the bottom of my heart that I believe you, and I know that what happened on January 6th was a fraud. There was no insurrection. I believe the election was stolen, and I'll say that right to Joe Biden's face.
yes, sir.
But if you're willing, can I invite the group here to come up and ask questions if you have questions?
Yes.
So it looks like we're going to have Ira come up and ask a question. Come up to the mic, Ira. Yeah. So this is Ira.
Hi there. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. So I have two brief comments and then the question. If you remember back with Stalin and Beria or Beria, whatever his name is, right, find me the man and I'll find you the crime. So
yep.
It seems like that's what's being done here. And when you're talking about what happened in 2020 and just a couple of minutes ago you mentioned about, you know, stay in your house and be safe. So here in L.A. County, we get the voting pamphlet, and on the front page it says, stay safe, vote by mail. It's right. It's like, well, you can't go to the mall. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't go anywhere, you know, and definitely don't go to the voting center. So stupid. So the question is, so back in 2020 with all the rioting that occurred, these insurrectionists back then, they you know, were arrested or whatever. But then they turned around and sued the government, and they're all getting, not all, but, you know, some of them are getting payments from the government because of police brutality, et cetera. So what is the future for the J6ers and yourselves about appeals or turning the tables, you know, as the rioters did in 2020?
Well, as far as appeals, and thank you for your question, Ira, as far as appeals, there's a couple of them going on right now. We're certainly going to appeal ours. But, you know, it's you're appealing to the D.C. circuit. And, you know, there,
it's as corrupt as the one that convicted you.
Because all these judges sit on the D.C. circuit, so you've got that. As far as, you know, any kind of retribution or anything from the government, we don't know yet because this is still ongoing. Public opinion is not where it needs to be able to get that. You know, of course, with the BLM, it was the politicians, the liberal politicians who fought for it. But, you know, with us right now, I mean, as convicted felons that we are, you know, we have no basis to sue the cops, even though they all perjured themselves on the stand, even though they were brutal to us far beyond any normal, use of force. But right now we have no recourse until public opinion changes and Republicans that are in Congress actually grow a backbone and start fighting harder than they are.
And just as a cute little side note, so several of the officers that got charged from the 2017 riots are the very same ones that attacked my husband and myself.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you for your answers and your time.
Thank you.
Hello. I wanted to make a correction. You said Hunter Biden killed himself. I believe you meant to say Epstein.
No, it was actually a meme, and it said Hunter Biden did not kill himself.
Oh, that's
it was
insane.
A joke that individual made, just saying he's going to be next on that list based off what all was happening.
I see. Well, he doesn't have to worry, but we have to worry.
Okay. Amen.
Tell him your name. My name is John Kasarab. I'm retired United States military.
Thank you for your service, sir.
I really appreciated your comment about the danger that we face, and I believe the danger is more than imminent. I don't believe that people are paying any attention whatsoever, even to that sheriff that came out and clearly stated that you need to start preparing for attacks. I've watched the Muslims and these people attack ever since they've been in Bosnia. And I realize what's happening, and I realize that our government is totally fighting against the United States way of life by importing all these people intentionally. So I hope that you will continue to express that in all your conversations. I'm doing the best I can to get people to pay attention, but I'm not getting a lot of traction about that either. I know you're in a really bad situation, and I would not want to be there. Hopefully, I think that you're going to be able ultimately to probably win on appeal because you've actually got video proof that these people attacked you directly. So anyway, I wish you the best. I can add you to my prayer list. And
absolutely. Please do that.
Please keep telling people about the imminent danger they're in. You talk to a lot more people than besides us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You
and
bet.
That is why we talk to so many people and have laid our lives down, and is because of that. We're called to be our brother's keeper. And the reality is that America fell asleep. And the scriptures warn us not to fall asleep. But here we're all asleep. And I'm watching the terror play out. I'm living it firsthand. And I can see the looks on the faces where they're like, oh, that's so sad for you. And I'm thinking, no, baby, you don't understand. It's good for me. I'm going to be preserved in prison. It's bad for you because you're still going to be out here and you weren't willing to stand.
I don't believe they're asleep. I believe that they have been programmed over the last 50 years to be sheep. We have an enemy that has inculcated false narratives and falsehoods and propaganda in our colleges and universities, which has corrupted our entire generations. I think that's what's happened. And yeah. Even in Vietnam, I saw, you know, that's when I found out we were the New World Order. And it is all coming from us. There's no question about that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Travis Witcher, and I just had a question. Do you guys have the list and the names of the nine patriots that committed suicides and their conditions that possibly led to that? Is that stuff documented?
It is. I'm not sure how elaborate, but if you go to stophate.com mm-hmm. and you go through the January 6th deaths, the suicides are listed separately. Mm-hmm. And several of them, you know, the details are giving, like Najorn Meacham, you know, that one is the most recent one, very cut and dry. It was given the four misdemeanor charges. He promptly, as soon as he is arrested, when he got out, he came home and shot himself. You have, of course, Matthew Perna, most people have heard of. His also given the four misdemeanors, he pled out to them only to take a bad plea where they could then add superseding indictments where he has basically already signed that he was guilty to it, and they did that, and that led to him hanging himself. But then you've got four police officers, and there's a lot of mystery behind theirs. The saying in the community is we don't know if they were committed suicide or if they were suicided.
Right.
But those stories are in StopHate.com.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I would love to be able to charge, you know, these corrupt, you know, federal government people with, you know, crimes against humanity with that. I mean, that's extremely infuriating, you know, that misdemeanors, trumped up misdemeanors led to people committing suicide, you know, in extreme confinement. And it just, it boils my blood, you know.
Well, and also, you know, this is the first time in history for the U.S. government to imprison someone over misdemeanors.
Right, right.
And most J6ers have been sent to prison for misdemeanors. And then, of course, that 1512 charge, which is, you know, stems from the Enron paper shredding debacle back in the late 80s and 90s. And so Congress beefed up the laws to make it illegal to corruptly convince someone to break the law, to destroy evidence. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're applying to all of us J6ers, is that. That's what's under Supreme Court review right now, is that charge and the way they're using it. But, yeah, it's, you know, that charge alone is a 20-year felony.
Yeah, it's infuriating, you know, to
absolutely
hear that kind of crap.
It is. So. It is, because, you know, not only are the January 6th defendants victims here, but I do believe Capitol Police are victims here too. I believe they truly made them pawns as disposable, that had this turned into an insurrection, riot, whatever they want to call it, their lives are who would have been on the front lines. And I think they were victims just like we were. You clearly see that Metro Police knew what was going on, were part of it. But Capitol Police, I do not believe they were. And what we've seen in the police deaths are those four were four that refused to sign the non-disclosure statement.
Right. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ed. I have questions about Trump. Do you think he's done enough for J6ers? And what suggestion would you like him to do for J6ers?
You know, there's a lot of debate about that. To some degree, I give Trump a pass because he has been under tremendous lawfare ever since January of 2021. So, I mean, you know, even though he's a billionaire, he's kind of had his hands full. So, you know, the only thing is if he does become, if they allow him to become president, which I'm very skeptical of, you know, he says he will pardon us all, which is a great thing. But, you know, we got to get him in office to be able to do that and at least keep him alive long enough in office so that he can.
And then for me, I strongly believe that he has done everything above and beyond what any president ever would have done for this nation as a whole, not maybe for January 6th defendants, but he too is one. And the most you could do for a January 6th defendant is poke a hole in this horrible wall they've built around us. And he's using himself to do that. He's been very sacrificial in his love of country. And I just can't throw a stone at that.
Well, Jalice, I want to thank you you both for coming and talking to us today. And I just want you to know that we're with you. I recognize you both as American patriots, fellow American patriots. And I completely reject this whole farce that you are insurrectionists. And I just want you to know you have our full support.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you.
So, Jalice, before I let you go, let me give you my email address, because what I'd like to do is give you that so that you can send me pictures of yourself that I can use for the video. We're going to make a video of this talk and post it, which you are free to use however you want. To promote your group or whatever you'd like to do. so we'll be posting that hopefully relatively soon. But if you can write down my email address, my name is Adam Ruff, first of all, and the last name is spelled R-U-F-F. And my email address is ruffadam2003@yahoo.com. So it's ruffadam2003@yahoo.com.
Okay, I got it down.
So thank you again, and we love you. I hope you guys stay strong. We'll try to help as much as we can, okay?
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.